Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh, and with me now in the studios at the University of Sioux Falls, our good friend Hugh Weber. He's host of the Potluck Society. It's a podcast. You can find it on our website at listen.sdpb.org. You can also download it on your mobile device, wherever you get your podcasts. Hugh, welcome back.
It's great to be here, as always.
All right, let's talk about who we're meeting today.
Well, I have been all over the state over the last week. I've talked to high school kids at USD. I've traveled to Falkton and talked to rural community development leaders. But today I get to introduce you to a creator, crafter, and community builder, Ashley Rick, from right here in Sioux Falls. Let's have her introduce herself.
I'm Ashley Rick. I am the manager at Unglued and also co-owner of Cambium, which is my husband and I's combined hobby business. I love being from South Dakota. I was a military brat growing up, but this is the longest I've lived anywhere. And I go away and I come back and I think there's something so inspiring being from where we are. The sense of community, the sense of local pride that we have. And we're a big state with not a big population. I think that the maker crafter movement that is so popular right now just makes the state even smaller to me, which I love. I love that I can talk to somebody in the store who is from Watertown and they know somebody from Hot Springs who makes something, and then all of a sudden that maker from Hot Springs is contacting us, and there's this network of makers who really respect each other's craft but didn't know that somebody else was doing it. I think that for so long we've all just assumed that it's, you know, like the grandmas of the world that were doing this and nobody else is making crafts. But so not true. It's these like teenagers and 20-somethings and 30-somethings on up, and they're all trying to figure out who they are and make this amazing product and get it out into the community. And I think that there are a lot of the 20 and 30 something year olds that I know right now that really enjoy talking to the 70 and 80 something year olds and sharing stories about when they used to do this, and they might not see eye to eye, right? Like the things that I cross-stitch now are not the things that my grandma or her friends are cross-stitching. But that doesn't mean that they don't both respect the craft of it. And they make because that's who they are. They need to. And maybe they do it because they want to give them away. And maybe they do it because that's what they do for income. But they're all part of this family, and I'm very honored and proud to be part of that and enjoy every day of it.
All right, before we go any further, Hugh, we got to tell people what Unglued really looks like on the inside.
Right. So Ashley runs this space called Unglued, which has a store down on Phillips Avenue in Sioux Falls and an original store up in Fargo. But it is this cacophony and cornucopia, to use some consonants apparently, of creativity. It is hand-stitched items. It's all goods that have been made by hand by people from this region. And so it is this place where it is an intersection of a whole lot of different styles, a whole lot of different worldviews. I think you really do see, you know, my daughter sells a lot of buttons at Unglued, but you also see people who are making full-time professions out of this creative work.
All right. And what is she cross-stitching? She said she's not cross-stitching what her grandmother was cross-stitching. So, you know, keep it clean for broadcast, Hugh.
But what exactly is she stitching? I don't think we're going to clear any sort of federal compliance laws, but I'll just say they're a little sweary.
Okay.
They're a little trendy. I think they appeal to a certain audience. But, you know, Ashley has made this transition from maker and creator to community organizer, which is something I think is unique. And I asked her why she chose that work of connecting and celebrating others.
I love being this connection between makers. I love when makers come in and see something that somebody else has done and then they collaborate together. Because now they have a new friend, they have this new inspiration in their life. They're all just trying to make something that they love. And all of a sudden it's these people who are making this network of hopefully people inspiring other people. If I can put a picture on Instagram or Snapchat or Facebook and tell a story, whether it's my story or somebody else's, like that will hopefully inspire somebody or let them know that they're not alone or introduce them to a new maker. I think that I will always want to be that person. I will always want Unglued to be that. We want to be this community. We want to give a community of support, of inspiration, of hope, of understanding. It's not easy to be a maker. It's not easy to do what you love. It's sometimes extremely hard and super frustrating and you want to quit. And I think that's what where the difference is. It's the people who don't quit and who are stubborn and who just keep going. But I think sometimes you need that in your life. You need that community to remind you that you're not the only one.
What's frustrating about being a maker?
Well, I think it is this process that is inherently individual. It's inherently isolating. You're sitting alone with your string art or with your, needlepoint. And you know that at some point there's an audience for it, but they're not there with you. You're not able to respond to them. So I think the other side of it is you're making it for yourself. She talked earlier in the interview about it being an expression of herself and her personal kind of journey. And that's necessarily going to be intimate. And when people respond well or poorly to that, it's still vulnerable. And I think that vulnerability is something that popped up a lot in the conversation, even a kind of insecurity. She talked about how artists have a certain stature, even in this region, as conservative and practical as it is. But as the champion of crafters and makers, she wants them to know that what they do has value. So here's what she wanted them to say here.
There's this divide between artists and makers and crafters. Crafters don't think that they're makers and that they're not good enough to be artists. And, I have an art minor and I have this, but I don't call myself an artist. I call myself a maker because it's not a fine art to me. It's not, I don't know that there's this extremely long shelf life for what I do. And I'm okay with that. But I also believe that some of these string arts that I have in my house from the 70s, they probably didn't think the same thing. But somebody found it, somebody loved it, and it is now part of my collection, quote unquote. So to the maker community out there, I think, if I can say something to them, it would just be to just keep making. Don't be embarrassed or don't think your stuff's not good enough. Talk to people about it. And bring it in on glue because I want to see it. No. just to be proud of what you do. These traditional arts aren't going to sustain themselves. And we live in a part of the world where I think we pride ourselves on tradition a lot of times, and we can keep those alive. Just make them your own.
Okay, that's the key. Traditional arts. When she went from saying maker to saying traditional arts, that makes all the difference in how you define it.
It does. It makes it seem more substantial. It makes it seem more important and critical to the culture. In this last week and a half, I tend to be an experimenter in my own creativity. In this last week and a half, I purchased a letterpress, a proof press, and have been just getting ink on my hands. And there's something about the idea that this was made in 1930, was made to last, and that I'm part of a tradition. I'm not just a guy fumbling around his garage with ink all over his shirt. Like, I'm part of something that has been a way of practice and is now maybe novel because it's unique, and new over again. But there's something longstanding about that that makes it matter more. I'm figuring out things that have been figured out for hundreds of years. And I think that's what she's seen. I think she's seen that, you know, string art may have been felt trendy in 1970 and possibly in 1930. And that nails and wood with string wrapped around it is nothing new, but it can be new to her and yet part of something bigger.
So, Hugh, what's the difference between sitting there alone in your garage and then maybe, you know, looking at YouTube to try to figure out how to do something like this versus having someone teach you? So maybe her grandmother is the one who taught her how to cross stitch. I don't know. But are we losing something in that connection of passing it down generationally? Or is that now sort of bankrupt and we're passing it to each other?
Yeah, I would think if it's just learned through YouTube that you may be learning the motion. You may be learning some of the skill, but you lose some of the dance. You lose some of the ability to improvise. You know, I'll speak only to my story in the example letterpress. I picked it up along the side of the road south of Omaha in rural Iowa from a rural farmer in from Missouri. And then a friend from Lincoln came over with type so that I would have plenty to print with. It made the entire difference. You know, I had spent a lot of time on YouTube leading up to that time, but to actually sit with them and have them show me and have them kind of give me that boost of confidence to know that I was part of a community. I think that's what Unglued does, right? I think that some of this stuff may happen in isolation. They may learn the skill in isolation, but they bring it into that shop and they celebrate. They connect and celebrate. A couple of recurring themes for me in the Potluck Society. They not only have that high five and hug that says your work matters and we're going to try to sell it for you, but isn't this awesome? Didn't you make something really exciting that's going to make someone else happy as well?
And it's one of those places, and I'm sure there's dozens of similar sort of experiences at craft fairs and things like that. I was just at a craft fair not too long ago in Custer, and you can pick it up, flip it over, sort of see how it's put together. Whereas if you go to Target, you know, it's not quite the same experience.
That's right. You know, you aren't the first person to have this in your hands. You know, right, that this isn't the first time it's mattered to someone, yeah, but you're part of a chain of creativity and community.
Hugh Eber, thank you so much.